This is the off season.
The voice in your ears is Perfect Purvis, and this is the off season. Welcome to today's episode, where we're going to talk about everyone in the community, how we can do more together. And joining me today is guest host Gavin Campbell.
I'm founder of 3D Football. I've been coaching in Europe for the last about 10 years. That was after about a 10-year stint in NCAA, Division I, Division II, and Division III. And one of the big things I've always been involved in is team effort sort of thing. The idea of it takes a village, that old cliche. So this was definitely something that kind of hit personally for me. Now I have something that's going to, we're talking about imports, it's going to make me win this season. And it's also his word of mouth is going to help my business down the road. And I think that's what people forget. They want to know what's in it for instant gratification. What's in it for me now, today?
I think one way to say that is very simple is that, yeah, there's the way to be, you know, the instant gratification. But if I help someone, the process that I'm doing to help them, that is an experience and knowledge that I wouldn't have gotten if I didn't do that. And to some extent, that is worth more than whatever you're doing. And just to be more general, like say me personally, I do a little bit of graphic design and video editing. If I edit a video for someone or do some graphic design for someone, and it's something I don't normally do, like say it's like I'm doing a logo or I'm putting together a commercial for some products, something I normally don't do, but I do the process. That process, now I know how to do that. And now when I see something similar, I'm more likely to say, hey, I could do that, or hey, I'll join that. I learned how to do graphic design because of the job I was working at the time. I needed to help the graphic designer I had. He taught me stuff and I learned a little bit on my own. And now I'm able to help other people. I've created logos and websites for different people. And I'm not a designer. I'm not a graphic designer. I'm more like a media personality, but also I've spent time doing podcasts and learning how to edit video and audio.
Well, not just that, it helps.
I'm not an editor, but I know how to, and that process was the times I did it, I might not have been like paid for those things, but learning that and now having those experiences is worth it.
That brings up the ultimate point of this, right? We talked earlier, we talked a couple times about what's in it for me, right? That's the kind of general idea. Okay, so, and I'm a firm believer, right? Because initially when we talked about this topic before, like when we presented the ideas and we talked about this topic, I was thinking from the football side, right?
Yeah.
The average DC in Europe uses their defense alignment as a speed bump so the linebackers can come free.
True.
Right? My thing always is, no. I run a 3-4, so it looks like a 5-man box. It's not. It actually is a 7-man box. Well, say 6, depending on where you put your receivers. But it's a 6-man box, so I'm still at least even, or depending on your receivers, I'm +1, right? But that, getting out of that, the thing is, I always tell my D linemen, I don't play bull rush usually. Sometimes I have certain calls where I do, but generally we're a gap, we're a slant gap. When I'm a DC, we're a slant gap front three. Mm-hmm. And the point I always do about it, the whole idea of odd fronts is that it slows down double teams. At the end of the day, one of the major components, depending on how you're running it, obviously, right? Slows down double teams because they're still going to get four guys, just like if it was a even throw, right? But which is that fourth guy and where is it coming from? Is the D-line slanting this way and he's hitting this gap? Is the D-line slanting the other way and he's hitting the other gap? Is it that guy? Is it this guy? Is it, right? And the thing I always tell the guy is you're not there to stop the linebacker. Because I usually go to, like, kind of, we'll say, I don't want to say lower-level teams, right, because I don't want to disrespect them in that way. But, like, the they don't have a lot of
experience.
Football IQ experience in their coaching staffs prior. Right. And so they just think I'm here to absorb the blocks, take on two guys so that the linebackers are free. And the thing I always tell them is, no, you're there to get in that gap and stop the play. If you get double teamed, one of two things is going to happen. The guy's going to come off you when I blitz in the gap. Right. The guy's going to come off you, in which case you've been fighting a double team. You can come free. Right. Or the linebacker is going to come free because the double team's going to stay on you. And that was kind of the route I was going, because, yeah, we can do more. Like, it doesn't, maybe it's my nose guard that gets the tackle, or maybe it's that blitzing linebacker. And you don't know which, and pump blocks the same thing. I tell my guys, I always send one plus one based on their backfield protection. I was trying to get plus one free. And I tell them every time, if you get blocked, you absorb the block or run through. Don't try and avoid it, because we have one more guy than they have. So if all four of you take thinking of shield, right? All four of you get back there. They got three guys. One of you is coming free. But if you dance around it, you're actually going to prevent the guy that could have come free.
Yeah.
So you absorb that block. You go in your gaps. I treat the shield like a line, and you have gaps, right? You have basically four gaps. You go, boom. But that's the route I was going, and that's what people don't understand. And that, I think that's the best analogy. If I'm one of the four guys in the shield and I'm hitting that inside gap between the middle shield and, like, left or right shield, right? And I try and get outside because I'm about to get blocked. Now I've just tripped up. I'm physically on the ground now because I tripped up my own player, and both of us with tangled feet and fell to the ground. So not only have both of us failed based on my not wanting to work together, but our team, our overall mission. And a lot of these cats out here that are going to be the first ones to tell you, nah, I can't really do that. I got my own thing going on, blah, blah, blah. Like, those are the cats that have these, like, sort of virtuous callings. Oh, I'm doing it because to make football better in Europe. Oh, I'm doing it because...
Say that one more time, because this is the most overly used phrase I've ever heard in my life.
I just want football to be better anywhere I am.
I'm trying to make football better in Europe is what naive people say all the time.
I'm gonna be honest. We had this conversation, right? I don't want to put too much business out on the street because it's still ongoing stuff. But I will just put it in this way.
Yeah.
If I am a representative of a club, like I'm financing the club, I'm the GM, I'm the president, I'm on the admin side, the front house, as we you and I talk about this, right? I'm the board by European terminology, right?
Yeah.
I'm not fucking wasting money on a junior program. Hear me out here. Let me go through the full transgression of progression of this thought. So I'm not wasting money. Okay, because as the, we'll say I'm the president, right? My job as the president of the club is not to make football in that country better. My job is to make the club that I'm the president of better, right? Here's the problem. So now, that being said, let me put a caveat in. I firmly think that junior teams are vital for the country, right? The federation that we're, the whatever country we're talking about, right?
All right, I'm trying to go with you, but keep going. Okay.
They are because it's the next generation.
Yeah, but from a club aspect, what are you thinking? But
if I'm financing the club, unless I'm getting more sponsorship money, because juniors do collect grant money and sponsorship money more so than seniors.
Okay? Yes.
So that would be the one kind of variance there. But if my juniors cost the club money, I get an extra 100 euros a month, but the juniors cost me 300 euros a month. I think it's a waste of money, because here's the thing. If you're junior, and this all, there's a whole bunch of variants in there, right, that I would look at if I was president, but just kind of in the abstract. Because here's the thing. My juniors are not going to play for my seniors.
Yes, Sal, I'm glad you said it. I was thinking it, but you said it. Thank you so much.
My juniors are going to go play for this other team's seniors. And I could have some sort of pride. And maybe after they go to college, right, because that's about the time you go, they graduate college. In 5 years, when I'm no longer the president, because I don't know a president for a club I've been involved with, I can't think, and I may be wrong, so I apologize if there are any presidents that I work for that listen to this. I don't know of a president, one exception. One exception, very good friend of mine. Other than a team that was earlier mentioned, I don't know of a president that's been with the club longer than 5 years. Okay.
It's a term thing, kind of like in the States.
Yeah.
College ADs.
The chain, right? ADs aren't with that program. If you're at some D3 school.
But now here's my question, since we're talking about it from this aspect with the president, there's a difference between president and someone who's financing the team, right? Because the president wouldn't have enough power to say, okay, let's scrap the juniors, compared to someone who's footing the bill would be able to say, we're going to scrap the juniors because I'm paying for all this stuff.
I'm
Finland, where everything has
to be fair. I'm going to say outright, neither person really, if you're talking two separate people, okay? Yeah. Because I've been with some clubs where the president is
everything. Sponsor. Okay, yeah.
But I've also been with clubs where there were sponsors and there was the president, right? Like,
there's some clubs where there's a president. But really, he just owns the team. And then there's other places where there's way, an actual right? board, you know?
Right. Lack of better way. Yeah. But I will say this. In the situation you're talking about, where there's a
checks
board.
Checks and balances.
And
then they get
sponsors, and the sponsors have their demands or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't think either side has... This is where I think people kind of lose it. Sponsors aren't giving you money just because.
Touché. They're
getting something from it. Because, you know, I had I'm not even going to say who it was because I have such a disdain for this individual.
Okay.
But this was during my NCAA days. But this individual... It's funny that the people that we despise working for the most are the people that give us some of the best leadership knowledge, right? True. Either what to do or what not to do, right?
Yeah, you learn either way.
I tend to hate people that only speak in cliches, but you can take a lot from those cliches. Anyways, we were having a staff meeting one day, and he's like, "Yeah, nobody ever became a millionaire by giving their money away." because I had asked the DB coach to give me a little bit of spot me a little funding for to go get some lunch or something like that. And then he's like, oh man, I can't really. I'm like, man, you got all this money. You're making more than me. You got all this money. And that's when this guy came out with like, you know, nobody ever became rich by giving their money away, right? So bring that up. Sponsors are getting some.
Yep.
Right? At the end of the day, very few sponsors, and I've had one sponsor in my time in Europe that was giving money just because. And really, he was only doing that because I came in with a good sales pitch that he's like, I can get behind this.
Yeah.
Right? But sponsors are, so it's mutually beneficial. So I will slightly disagree with you that the sponsors can say, kill the junior team.
Oh, no, I'm not saying the sponsors. I'm saying like when it's like one guy, not mostly when it's an actual company. But you know, there's guys who they own their own company, and that's who's sponsoring the team.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But he can't kill the junior team. He can suffocate. Both sides can suffocate it, right? Even that president that's not financing it, right? He's a true like board. He's not like the owner. Yeah. He can suffocate it too. Because.
And why are we suffocating?
You have any?
I forgot.
What's that?
Why are we suffocating the juniors again?
Well, I'm just saying, like, juniors in a general idea, unless they bring in more sponsor money, then they're the overhead to run them. Juniors are problematic to the club itself.
To the club, okay.
But this is where it gets tricky, right? Because the whole point of this podcast is we can do more together.
Yeah. But what can we do?
So this is the point I'm saying. It's like juniors are a black hole for the club. At the end of the day, they're an expense.
I think that has to do a lot with where you are, because obviously my experience is different in Finland, but I've seen a lot of places. And yeah, that could also, it could be a regional thing too.
Well, here's the thing.
Children's sports usually have
without putting teams, just only for hypothetical sense, right? Mm-hmm. Give me the most like village type team, right? Like what city are they in? Okay. I'm not familiar with Finland geography.
I won't even name the city, but we'll just say village team and go.
Okay, okay. So dude from Natchez, Mississippi. We'll call it the village.
Call it the village. I like
that. Right?
Yeah.
Dude from small ass village team where there is no college in that town.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Going to high school, he's playing ball. He's then gonna turn around and leave to go to college around the time he's hitting seniors. He is no longer playing for
that team.
That team in that small village, he's now playing in a bigger city that has a college.
Mm-hmm.
So that small ass village team just basically spent money to give now. But this is where you got to balance it, right? We got to do more together, right? But at the same time, I think people.
Can I jump in with what I think the solution would be? The solution would be, if this is just me thinking of how it could be, is that these teams that have junior teams in these small cities, because that same kid, when he goes to that bigger city, what he learned as a kid is going to be the reason he plays for that other team.
Yeah, yeah, no, so 100%.
There should be some type of cooperation between the two teams. And that's similar to what I think should happen in Finland, is that there's too many teams at every level and there should be less. But also, like what you're saying, is what I would suggest as a solution to what you're saying about the juniors, is that there's a certain amount of men's teams. So that if you have a juniors team and your player goes to another team as a adult, you have like a farm type of deal where they kind of know, because
well, the big, that's
The big cities have
that. That's assuming that everybody, if you're living in a country where there's basically like one or two cities that have big colleges, right? Think about it. I'm in Poland right now. Okay. You got.
It depends on the country. That's what I'm saying. It's very regional. It really depends on where you're at.
Right. And so, and like I was with a very small team up in northern Poland. Very small.
We gotta stop here like 5 minutes. Sorry.
That's fine.
I got wrapping it up.
That's
fine. Go ahead. But finish your story.
Ultimate point is, I think for me to sum up the whole thing. Okay, we got sidetracked with that junior thing because that kind of went against what I was saying, but I think it proves it in the long run, right? Is that, you should always look at what you're getting out of something.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the intangibles, or what we call opportunity costs, are more beneficial, right? Like the psychic income, sorry, not opportunity costs, right? The psychic income, the money you get from that association, or the advantages you get from that association are worth offsetting the opportunity cost, what it costs you, right? Like 5 minutes of my time to plug Perfect Purvis means that now when you plug me, your fans, I'm going to send a lot less traffic your way, right? Because just based on the numbers of followers, if we go off that algorithm type idea, right? I'm going to send less people, but at the end of the day, I'm going to remember you were there from day one. So you're going to get more psychic income down the road from it. You know, where I might get a big boost now because you're like, hey, go to 3D football, take care of this guy. Then once I start getting that traffic in, right? I'm going to send stuff back to you. So right now you're not going to get it from me, but you're going to get it down the road once I start getting more people like
in. Well, also, let's not act like you're not famous out here too. There's another thing, like just being associated with the right people. It could be I do much more than media guys, and you know that. But, you know, being associated with certain people, like just – so telling people I know Gavin Campbell, I mean, when I go to Poland, if I ever do, that's going to get me some cash.
You better be. You talking about me. I'm going to make sure I got a meeting with my potential team from next year coming up this week. I'm going to be like, hey, we got to get him down for a game.
Yeah, bring me down. Like, that's the type of stuff that is, like you said, that psychic money. Like, that's the compensation, that experience, those lives, is that – it's never just one-sided, even if you think that it looks one-sided. One thing that I wanted to say before we really get out of here is that, you know, I've started working with juniors a little bit more with Podium Preps, and we do a lot of, like, youth camps and stuff, so I've kind of seen more of that. But I've always kind of saw that in Europe when it comes to, like, people doing camps and personal training and stuff like that. And what I've really noticed is, there's a lot of people doing a lot of similar things. And when they come together, those are the things that everybody sees. Everybody knows what's going on. But there's a lot of things going on at the same time that nobody knows because they're not bringing it together.
That's the whole idea behind unions and all that stuff.
I believe that if you're doing something, invite someone to join. Just invite people that you trust or that you think you can trust. One thing that has really been a benefit here with technology lately is, I don't know if people understand this term because it's a little bit salesy, but cold calling. Yeah. The import community in Europe, you can cold call. You can text, you can Facebook friend somebody that you don't know, that you don't play with, that you've not played against. Send them a message, ask them about your idea, tell them about your idea or something, and say, hey, I'm going to be here. Would you mind meeting up? Yeah, have a plan.
I'm saying this because we get anybody that's been over here long enough gets a message from somebody like, coach, on the difference between you winning a championship or not.
And see, I'm not even talking about like recruiting. I'm talking about everything outside of football.
I'm saying, the next track with it. Have a plan. Like, look, what's your idea? Because here's the thing. I'm all about helping anybody out. But I'm not going to come up with your plan and then help you execute it and give you the credit for it.
Don't come in there saying, let's do something together.
Like, this is kind of what I'm thinking. I will help you buff it out, right? Like, I'm working with the cat right now. And his stuff's still on the ground floor and stuff like that. So I don't want to like put his business out there. He gave me some ideas. Like, now I got 3D football on Twitch. I haven't used it yet because I don't understand Twitch at all. But he got me on that.
Use this for Twitch. Google Meets for Twitch, man.
Okay. Like, well, then I might have to get a copy of this from you later. But
There's ways.
But yeah, like, I don't understand it. It's not really my thing. I prefer videos uploaded as opposed to kind of doing the live stuff.
Live streaming stuff, yeah.
And so anyways, but he got me on that. And then he's like, I got this idea, but I don't really have he was missing like the last step. But he had an idea, a well thought out idea. So I'm like, what about like this? And then we brainstormed together. And he's like, oh yeah, that could get down.
That reminds me.
Have an idea. You don't have to have the finished product.
Yeah.
Have an idea. Don't come to me and expect me to come up with your idea and then turn around.
That's where I would say, because it's also happened to me before, but if you're listening, if you have an idea and you know what you want to do and you want help with it, you want someone that can do a part of it, or what would I do in this aspect? Yeah, you reach out. But if you just have a general idea and you want someone to come up with the plan, you're asking for a business partner.
Yeah.
Or a consultation. I've had people ask me literally, can you make me a business plan? Well, if I make the business plan, it's my business.
It's my business. What am I going to do to you?
Yeah, what's my equity if you want me to come up with your business plan?
Yeah.
But if you have an idea, it's not that hard. Like, I'm working with like 3 or 4 people right now, and they're like, hey, I'm doing this. I want to do this on media. What do you think? And I tell them, this is what I think. This can help you because you're bouncing your ideas off of me. It doesn't cost me anything to help you. And later, if I ask you for something, I know you're going to give it. But that's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because it helps you and it doesn't cost me anything. And that's what we're trying to do, is we need to find a way. And just us doing this podcast.
In the pre-show. I don't believe there is anything as true altruism. We kind of joked. Yeah. I think it was in the pre-show.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
So at the end of the day, but this is the point I'm making, though, that I was trying to make a minute ago and then got sidetracked. Like, at the end of the day, my thing is, a dude that thinks like you or me, that I'm just going to help a cat out no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to help a cat out no matter what.
True.
But how do we reach out to these people that aren't like you and I? And if we strike and this is where I think you have to use Sun Tzu. I live my life off Sun Tzu.
Okay.
You have to know your quote unquote enemy. I'm not saying they're our enemy, right? Like, but what I'm saying is you have to know how to speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, we may have to present it as selfish. We have to say, look, you're going to get it down the road.
True.
Not because a guy like me and you isn't even looking at that. It's going to come or it's not going to come, because some people are going to do you dirty and not give you your, when they make it, they're going to forget that you gave them the label.
True.
Right. But for those cats out there, if you sell that aspect to them, that's going to, because you don't need to convert a dude like you or me that kind of like, I'm going to help you. As long as I don't have to do your work for you.
True.
Right. Like, talking about the business plan, coming up with the whole business plan. Right. Then let's sell it in that way. You don't have to sell it based on your principles. Sometimes you have to change. You know, you took communication class in college.
Of course.
And the one thing you learn in any communications class is speak to your audience. Our audience for trying to get change in helping each other out is not the people that are going to help each other out. our audience are those people that are like, what's in it for me?
You're right.
We need to get to help each other.
You're right. That's eye opening. And see, that's why this podcast has been so important to me, is that this is the conversations that are opening things. Because I'm thinking right now, and we're actually going to just cut off this after I get done.
Can I do a shameless plug though?
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll do a plugs. Always plugs at the end. So I'm all just right. gonna throw this out there. Is that I'm thinking off the top of my head right now of maybe starting, you know, like a monthly like Google Meet or something with the community that, you know, we're mostly involved with, and having people just exchange ideas or have a small agenda, 2-hour call, talk it out with people and just go over things, because I feel like there's a lot of things that can be done if we come together, but people aren't doing it. You know how it was before the pandemic. People were traveling, going places, and you're meeting people and ideas are being bred. Post-pandemic, everyone is staying. Everybody thinks, you know, doing a Zoom call is how you get stuff done, which sometimes it's helpful, but also there's nothing better than, you know, planning to meet somebody or being in the same area. You get better conversations that way.
I think it shows effort too. That's the other thing, like we talked about business plan. Like whether you're the one traveling or you're the one being traveled to,
true.
There's energy and effort in advance. But it wasn't like you were just drinking and sent a message like, I have this idea, help me with it. It's like, I got the plane tickets. You know how to pick me up from the airport. You know where I'm staying. Like, both sides are
good. If you tell me you're coming and you got a flight, then I'll stop whatever I've got to do. Like, I had a couple weeks ago, I think, I've had a friend that he sent me a message. He's like, I'm coming to Finland. I want to catch up. And I'm like, cool. And I forgot about it. But then when he came, I was like, oh shoot, I forgot. I was supposed to do this. I canceled this because this dude came all this way and he wanted to make sure we could connect. So we connected because that's what we needed to do. And that's, I mean,
I think that's most people like that are in our shoes is if, look, I'm willing to help anybody. I don't care what your idea is. I don't care how not feasible or the possibility of success, how low it is, right? Keep in mind, I'm running a special teams consulting business in Europe.
Yeah,
like, let's be honest. I don't care how successful I think your idea might be.
True.
Because if I did, I wouldn't have 3D football, right? But at the end of the day, like, I want you to put effort into it. I'm going to help you no matter how successful or unsuccessful. And I might be honest with you. Like, I don't know if this is going to get traction. But that's because I feel you need to have all the cards, good and bad, right? It's not me shooting your idea down. It's me telling you, like, just be ready.
Yeah.
To, and I'll use, have a company that I did pre-pandemic. I consulted with like 2 or 3 teams in the 3 years, two to three years that I had 3D football set up before the pandemic. 2 or 3 teams, and one of them was solely online, and it, like, I charge them very bare bones, sort of, like, and then I had, you know, and then since then, I've gotten a little bit more traction on it.
Yeah.
Because guys are starting to realize that offense and defense, especially post-pandemic, pandemic has been very problematic for a lot of areas, but I think in concentration of special teams has been a huge lifesaver.
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, the same dummies that I have on my sideline are the same dummies they have on their sideline. So if I can get this advantage in specialty, and I use a different word, but I'm trying to be more politically correct. I use the R word instead of dummies. But at the end of the day, like they've realized these dummies on the other sideline are usually concentrating on offense or defense. So if I can get this little advantage on special teams, so a lot of teams have really reached out to me on that since the pandemic. So it's one kind of boost of that.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah, so I think we've talked about this topic as well as a lot of other things. So this episode might be turned into something different. But yeah, Gavin, I'm glad you came on. I don't have like an outro type thing, but this is the point in the show where, you know, throw your plug out there and let people know what you have going, and then we get out of here.
All right. So like we talked about, anybody that needs help with something, just hit me up. Have an idea. Don't come to me and expect me to have the idea. I'm here for anybody. But you need help on special teams, whether it's technique or tactics, hit me up. 3D Football on Facebook. Pretty much all the other social medias, it's 3D Football 2, the number 2. I had to change it. And the website is 3dfootball.org, and it has a link to all that. It's .org, not .com. And it has a link to all our socials.
All right. And, you know, guys, I'm Perfect Purvis, obviously. This is my show. This is how we're running it. I love this topic, this episode that we had today. Guys, if you want to do something, because there's a lot that can be done. There's a lot that can be done, even if you don't have an idea. Maybe you don't have an idea, you just want to be a part of something. There's a lot of people that need help as well. So you can also reach out to me at Perfect Purvis anywhere in the world. Perfect Purvis is my Gmail too. So if you type in Perfect Purvis on the internet, I come up and you can contact me. So just find me. And if you're listening to this, you probably already are like Facebook friends with me. So with that, the show is over. Appreciate the listen. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you next time in the off season.
This is the off season.